Okay, we're going to start into our Romans study now. We had, in the last lesson, we were talking about the Gentiles and how they, if we look in, let's see, I can pull it up here. It's not in the verse list. Romans 1:28 pretty well tells what the status of the Gentiles was. And even as... Let me get that poked into there. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So the Gentiles were not seeking God, not finding God, not God wasn't working through them in the world. God was working through Israel. But we find out Israel had its problems too. Paul went on in chapter 2 of Romans talking about the Jews. And the Jews that some of the Gentiles in Rome were blessing for to receive the blessing of God according to Genesis 12:3. Jews that have the law, had the law, and those particular Gentiles were resting in that law that the Jews had. The law wasn't given to the Gentiles, it was given to the Jews. Just like the covenants weren't given to the Gentiles, they were given to the Jews. They were given the oracles of God, Romans 3:2. Let's go through some of the verses here, and we'll have a better understanding of what God is saying about Israel. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whoever thou art that judges. Judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest, dost doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Verse 5. This is chapter 2, verse 5 in Romans. But after the hardness and impenitent heart, thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. God is right by definition. Romans 2:6, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing. What's that? Only one person has done that. That's Jesus Christ. To him, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. As we look back from this current dispensation of the grace of God, we instantly recognize that there is a category missing. There's something missing in the earlier dispensing of God and his instructions. We're used to the peace of being accepted, acceptable to be saved by God's grace through faith. We don't have any hoops to jump through, so to speak. there's no performance even allowed in the transaction, in the event when we believe that Christ died for my sins and that they're all died for. There's nothing hanging over me. That he was buried and rose again. When we believe that, that's what it is. I mean, you don't have to go to Israel or become an Israelite to be right with God or anything like that anymore. So Israel's law went out with that whole system, that whole ministration of death, it's called. The grace of God was not widely dispensed before Paul's salvation as it is now. You hear about Noah had grace in the eyes of the Lord, and David found grace. But that doesn't mean everybody did. That's not the way God operated in general then. He wasn't dispensing grace without works at that time, as he is now. So you see things in the Bible that say, you know, if you don't endure to the end, you won't be saved, or he that does endure to the end will be saved, the overcomers will be saved. You see things like that, but that's talking to Israel. Most of the Bible is to and about Israel. The grace of God wasn't being dispensed in earlier dispensations. God was certainly was gracious in making a way for us to come to him, but the way to come to him was to keep the covenant, keep the commandments, keep the Sabbath, you know, the circumcision, the whole thing. And finally, the thing that they failed at was to believe that God sent his son, the Messiah, and raised him from the dead. They didn't believe that was him. They believed it was all fakery. So it's glaringly missed in these those writings, you know, that Paul listed for those in Israel's covenants who believed the gospel of the circumcision. They didn't have the peace of knowing that by God's grace were saved through faith, trusting in his grace, earned at the cross, the blood of the cross. And that he not only died for my sins, but he rose again, having been buried. So not until later in this epistle to all that be at Rome, the Romans here that we're studying, not till then did Paul reveal to them the current category of relating to God by faith in the gospel of Christ, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. God imputes his righteousness, his own righteousness, the way he is, to each one of us. He imputes it. Each one of us who receive to our need that gospel of salvation that Paul called the gospel of Christ, and then later he called it the gospel of the grace of God when it was sent out further. That imputed perfect righteousness of God is what God requires. God can't have unrighteousness around him. He's just, you know, it's out of bounds. Romans chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Tribulation and anguish to every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. And then verse 10. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. You know what Gentile those are. It's not every Gentile. It's those Gentiles that were in a position to provoke Israel to jealousy. Romans 11:11 and other places. Even in the Old Testament, they're prophesied that they would be there at this time to provoke Israel to jealousy. And that there would be a nation, little nation, little flock nation that would provoke Israel to jealousy too. And they came along when they did believe the Messiah that was preaching then, that came, Jesus Christ, that we know that was in the, I'm trying to think, it was previous lesson or just talking between the lessons, but it was the virgin birth was brought up. So, again, no one can work good without that perfect righteousness of God being imputed to their account with God as part of their salvation, having believed the gospel of the circumcision, which is the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the grace of God. Those are different names for the same saving message, which is different from the gospel of the kingdom which will come down out of heaven to Israel in the land. That's a different gospel. That has, it's a national gospel. Well, let's go through some more verses now. In Romans chapter 2, we'll start in verse 11, and let me just get this. I don't see the whole screen here. Just a minute. Okay. There is no respect of persons with God, for as many as have sinned without the law, without law, shall also perish without law. And that makes sense. The law limits the punishment, doesn't it? Without the limiter, the punishment can be anything. You know, if you stay within the law, you've got freedom. Not you, those people that had the law. Let's go on. Verse 12. For as many as have sinned without the law shall perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Don't forget, in this section, Paul is giving the status of Israel and how they also have sin that needs to be taken care of. They're not suitable for God. They're going astray. Verse 14, for when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Just like conscience keeps you from doing some things. There's no promise of salvation in that, though. Verse 15, which a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. Verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Only one person calls the gospel my gospel in the Bible, and that's Paul. It was given to him by Jesus Christ himself after the resurrection, after the subsequent ascension back to heaven. He gave revelations to Paul, and it says that Paul saw the Just One in Acts 22. He saw him on the road to Damascus. It wasn't just a light. Verse 17, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God. Pardon me. Verse 18, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou, therefore, that teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Again, Paul wrote, as we saw earlier, first chapter of Romans, verse 7, he wrote to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, God loves them, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That included a variety of people, as we see. They were at Rome. He was talking to Jews and others and calling them to be saints, set apart ones. God uses the gospel to call people, to call them into salvation. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And going on about the calling, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting in verse 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all churches. Verse 18. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. So this is 1 Corinthians. This is after they were saved. He preached to them in Acts 18. This is written in Acts 19. They were not under the commandments and they knew it. But that's why he says circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments. Because they weren't under the commandments. They were, you know, it was nothing either way. Verse 20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. No switching back and forth. You know, if you're called in uncircumcision by the gospel and you believe the gospel of uncircumcision, which today is the gospel of the grace of God, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, then don't try to be some, a Messianic Jew or a Messianic Christian or something like that, some invented, just follow your calling. Receive the promise of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 7:24, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. They were to be set apart to the gospel they had heard and believed according to those verses we just read. In other words, you're not going to be in the body of Christ if you never hear the gospel of the grace of God to believe it. If all you hear is back then, when the gospel of the kingdom was still around, if all you heard was the gospel of the kingdom and you believed it, that's what you'd be in the kingdom. You wouldn't be in the body of Christ. And vice versa. So we go on through Romans chapter 2. And in verses 23 to 29, Paul went through some arguments and said to these Jews and proselytes that it's not just the Jews being physically circumcised that made them true Jews, but it's the Jews' faith in their hearts that made them true Jews. And you see that all through these chapters here. Especially you can see it in Romans 9. I think it's 31 and 32. And that whole area actually. But those verses in specifically. Let's go on through some more verses here in Romans 2. Where we are. Thou that makest a boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Verse 25, for circumcision verily profiteth if you keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the circumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted? Let me read that again. I think I messed that up. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not the uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? Okay, I had a thought there in the middle and I lost it. So we'll go on, maybe it'll come back. But again, who has ever kept the law besides Jesus Christ only? So whether they do good or not, it better not be the method anymore by which we're saved. You know, Deuteronomy 6:25 says Israel agreed that their righteousness would be if they kept all the laws all the time. They boxed themselves in. Nobody could do that. But we're not under that kind of thing. We are under grace. We're not under the law. Romans 6:14. So Romans, we're going to go through a couple more verses here. Romans 2:28 and 29. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, talking about the circumcision. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. Remember, he's talking to these Jews and Greeks. He's not saying you become a Jew. He is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of man but of God. In other words, these people that descended from Jacob, not all of them were considered Jews because they didn't have the faith in God. They didn't believe he was sending his son, Jesus Christ, and they didn't believe the kingdom would come. You know, they didn't have the faith that was required in addition to all those that list of other things they were to do. So Paul's not saying that all people like us alien Gentiles, all people with a circumcised heart then somehow become a descendant of Jacob. He's not saying that. Romans 2:17 shows that Paul is only talking about Jews in this part of the second chapter. The Jews and proselytes that be in Rome, saying that those Jews needed the faith in the heart as well as circumcision in the flesh to be true Jews. They needed the faith. That's crucial to understand. If you don't see that yet, please read through these verses again. The second chapter, Romans 2, 1 through 29, again, in the King James Version Bible. And let the Word of God say it. If you miss this, you'll misunderstand most of the epistle to the Galatians. Because most of that is written to those Jews and Greeks of that time period in a dispensation of the gospel of Christ, before the gospel of the grace of God and a dispensation of the grace of God. So let's continue on. The beginning of chapter 3 carries on with this whole idea that we're guilty, well, that they're... You know, up till here, we've been talking about Israel being guilty and needing a Savior. But now he's gathering in the Gentiles that he talked about in Romans chapter 1, and these Jews that he talked about in Romans chapter 2. All together, he's got them. Romans 3, verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there in circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. Verse 3, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God? There you've got the faith of God. Make it without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man, Paul said. Verse 6, God forbid. For then, how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why am I yet judged as a sinner? Verse 8, and not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? In other words, he's saying, are we Jews better than they, the rest of the world? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. And here in chapter 3, we see that Paul concludes all people to be under sin, both Gentiles and also the Jews. And we're going to be closing soon, and it's a dirty trick, because as soon as we get to the next lesson, we get relief from this, and we get the salvation from being under sin. And it's a glorious account, story, but that sounds like fiction. It's not fiction. It's true. It's God-given. Let's look at Romans 3:10, next in line in the verses. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. And Paul's summing up both Jew and Gentile here. Everybody, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Verse 13, their throat is an open sepulchre. Well, so far, Paul has not left any room for anybody's argument, such as, you know, God, I'm pretty good, actually. I do as much as I can. You know, there's no room for any arguments like that. God doesn't grade on a curve. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Verse 14, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. So, if he hasn't already condemned everybody, he goes on to make sure here in these next few verses. Six. Starting in 3:15, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And some people balk at that one. There's no fear of God before their eyes. They talk about that heavy feeling that some people have, you know, conviction or depression or whatever. But in an unsaved person, that's a fear of hell. That's a fear of retribution, a fear of what's going to happen to me. It's self-preservation. According to Romans 3:18, that's not a fear of God. It's a fear of what's going to happen to them, their own condition. And that's the way things had been, but we'll be heading into the now of the present time, and we'll see. What we get into in Romans 3:21, it's a but now situation. Not like before, in other words, but now it's different. So, and you can just jump over that fact, that next part that leads to the but now. This two-verse summary that we're going to end with here, Romans 3, 19 and 20, is man's position in sin before Christ. And it's so crucial in understanding God's salvation. Most people either underestimate God's holiness or else underestimate their own sinfulness. Romans 3:19, we know, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them which are who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. In other words, the Gentiles' mouths were already stopped since Romans 1:28. The Gentiles didn't have any standing before God in any sense. So, but the Jews thought that they did have a standing with God. The Jews had the law. It was written to the Jews so that every mouth, including you Jews, your mouth may be stopped too, and all the world may become guilty before God. And what was the purpose of the law? To shut every mouth. Nobody has a valid argument before God. Nobody has a foot to stand on. Romans 3:20, therefore. In other words, God set it up that way. All of this leads down to this point. By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. It's a good equation, a good description of the law, what it does, function of the law. It gives you the knowledge of sin. But we'll stop there. Any questions or comments?